865,000. That's the number of women who were pushed out of the workforce last month. So take a second and guess how much more or how much less that number is than for men. Go ahead. I'll give you a second. Just guess. Well, in September, 216,000 men had to exit the labor force. That's a quarter of the number for women. Another way to think about it is that in September, 1.1 million Americans either were pushed out of work or stopped looking for work, and 80% of those people were women. So that is a consistent downward trajectory that American women have been suffering in this pandemic. Double-digit female unemployment for the first time since 1948. Black women and Latina women are suffering an unemployment rate that's almost double right now of white women and men. And for so many women who are out of work, there's a family that also depends on them. So what is the impact? What is happening to them? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and from NPR and WBUR, today on Point, we talked a lot about the she session. Well, that's what it's being called, the disproportionate recession that's hitting American women. And we heard from women all over the country about this, many of them struggling, all of them grappling with what this means for their future. So today, I want to share with you three of those stories. And we're going to start with Kilsia Moranta. She lives in Cranston, Rhode Island, and she worked at the Omni Providence Hotel for 21 years until this spring.
Back in March, when everything started, I was at work March 17, and as I was returning home, I got this heartbreaking phone call because I wasn't not even, never crossed my mind that I was going to get a phone call. And it was the general manager just providing me with the message that we have to give you laid off due to the pandemic. I felt like I was left in the middle of nowhere, wondering what I was going to do from having all the support and reliable resources to basically you're on your own, you know, survive. It's like, really? So now what? Can you give me like an explanation? How can I deal with this? Where can I go? How can I get help? I mean, I have, like I say, I have a family that rely on me. It's not like you're only telling me. When something happened to me, you're telling everybody who depend on me. You know, I felt very betrayed by them because I've been there since way before I become a mother. I've been giving you all my energy, all my loyalty, and that's how you pay me back. I had to reach out to the system, I would say. I ended up reaching out to the food pantry in the beginning. I applied for food stamp. I called some friends and told them about the situation. You know, I had no job. I don't know if I'm going to be able to provide for my children. How do I face my children and tell them in their face, you might not gonna have a meal tomorrow. I mean, that's one thing that no parents wanna deal with. At that moment, it's like everything crashed. Like I say, I need my job. I never been without a job. This is my first time in the whole entire time that I live in this country that I don't have a job. So why we are the one being punished? I'm here with my two kids and I live by the day, basically. Whatever I can get today, that's what I deal with. And hoping that tomorrow I found the same way of keep supporting them, you know? It's hard. And a lot of people say, oh, well, why you don't get another job? I say, yeah, it's not bad. But at the same time, you feel like I have spent half of my life in this one place. And I just gonna, you know, be let go just like that. I have that hope that my workplace will open again and things will come back, if not total normal, close to normal. And that's what keeps me going, the hope.
That's Kilsia Moranta. She worked for 21 years at the Omni Providence Hotel until the pandemic ended her job. Well, we also spoke with Tamisha Isaac. She lives in Brooklyn, New York, and she worked as an HIV/AIDS outreach coordinator. When the pandemic hit, her job wasn't suited for remote work, so Tamisha had to make a tough decision.
Back in March when COVID first started, I actually had to resign from my job and stay home with my kids, who I am the sole provider for. My name is Tamisha Isaac, and I am a single mom of two boys, one 11 and one 14. They went to school 100% remotely, and that in itself was challenging, different. Living in New York City, if you're HIV positive and you're struggling financially or homeless or whatever have you, there's a program called HASA. And with that program, they were able to assist me financially with housing and with rent until I get myself back on my feet. We actually had to ration food because now we're in the house all day, every day, and I have growing boys, and they consume a lot. And we literally have to ration some stuff and be like, hey, I had to tell them you can't eat everything all at once, because the last couple weeks in the month, I don't have no money to buy food like that. I definitely think that it affects us, you know, most, because for one, we get paid way less than, you know, our male counterparts, and sometimes with the same positions. And, you know, if you're a married couple, you know, you can sort of kind of balance out your finances. But when you're a single mom or a single parent, for that matter, it's a little bit more difficult because you are the only sole breadwinner and the only sole provider for that household. And it's only that one income that has to provide for everything and everyone. So it's very strenuous. To be honest with you, I have my moments. So on top of being HIV positive, that comes with anxiety, depression. I felt myself somewhat kind of going back there a little bit between March and now, but not fully. So yesterday, my oldest and I had a conversation about something, and you know, he was sad, and he was like, "Mom, I think we all need to go to therapy." And I said, "You know, kid, you're right." So I'm actually working on that. It definitely takes its toll. The upside of all of this was I actually got to spend a lot of time with my boys, a lot more time with my boys. We had these moments where me and my oldest son, because he loves to cook, we would do these cooking things where we would have a cook-off and he would make something that he likes and I would make something that I like. And this time that it has brought me a lot of peace, especially when I was having my anxiety moments, bacon helped me. It helped calm me down.
That's Tamisha Isaac. She used to work as an HIV/AIDS outreach coordinator, and she lives in Brooklyn, New York. We've got one more story of a woman who had to exit the workforce due to the pandemic. As you've heard, childcare is really a central part of this story. Nancy Weindruck lives in Arlington, Virginia. She spent years building her career, but decided that she had to step out of the workforce this past summer because she had to be home for her child.
My name is Nancy Weindruck. I am in Arlington, Virginia. And I recently left the workplace, having spent almost 15 years as a healthcare public affairs professional. When the pandemic arrived, I, like many, experienced sheer chaos and unpredictability, primarily because I was in a situation where I was working full time and no longer had childcare for our, at that point, 18-month-old son. And so after great consideration, I made the difficult decision to leave the workplace, but also so I could provide a safe environment for myself, because I am expecting our second child this winter. you make it work, you know, and you work really hard and you take advantage of the gig economy. You know, I'm on Poshmark, I'm on Nextdoor, I'm on OfferUp, I'm selling things and doing everything I can to stay within a very tight budget. So sacrifices are being made. But we talk a lot about this, you know, how this pandemic has exacerbated the pay gap. And you can have, as in our situation, a husband and a wife, same education, very similar careers, very promising trajectories. But statistically, men make more money than women. And the fact that until pay inequity is solved, when a crisis happens, I think that women are going to be hit harder. And I think women will be more likely to leave the workplace in order to care for their children. My mother, she dedicated her life to raising me and my siblings. And while I think we are as successful today because of her, I know that one of her biggest regrets was not having a career. And that was part of the guilt that I felt in making this decision to step out of the workplace was, gosh, you know, not only have you had so many women before us going to great lengths and making such incredible strides, and what am I doing? Am I no longer carrying the baton and moving things forward? But it's also on a personal note, you know, I want to take advantage of these opportunities that my mother didn't have. And so it'll be really interesting to see once this pandemic passes and once things settle down and we feel like we do have the opportunities to have childcare that's reliable and consistent for our son and soon to be baby number two, you know, it'll be another hard decision as to whether or not I go back to work. As of today, I am 100% determined to go back to work.
Nancy Weindruck. She lives in Arlington, Virginia. I want to thank all the women who shared their stories with us for today's show on the She Session. And I want to let you know that we are continually interested in hearing your stories. So how has the recession had an impact on you? How has the lack of childcare or remote schooling still changing your life this many months after the pandemic began? Hop over to Facebook or Twitter and find us at On Point Radio and let us know your story. And as always, since you're here in our podcast feed, if you haven't already, press subscribe. Thanks very much. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.